morning, good people. Sauce Talk is back. Hope everybody enjoyed Monday Night Football. Jimmy Garoppolo enjoyed himself a 3-touchdown game against the Kyler Murray-less Arizona Cardinals, led by Colt McCoy. Just not really getting all your best bang, you know what I'm saying, for what you got. With that guy at quarterback, good kid, or should I say grown man. And the one thing I can say about the 49ers is that I think people really should put them on the radar for, you know, one of the best teams in NFC that you could say that's like better than hell. The Vikings, Cowboys. And we're talking top teams. And I mean, I think if right now, if they played on a short week, Thursday night football, 49ers versus Eagles, I'm taking the Niners. Now, they're going to be playing the Saints, but the Eagles going to be playing the Cowboys. No, excuse me. Packers. I forgot. Am I tripping or something? Because I could have sworn that the Cowboys and Eagles play Thanksgiving, if I'm not correct. Am I tripping? Maybe I'm tripping. Yeah, maybe I'm tripping. It's Eagles and Packers Thanksgiving. So last episode when I was talking about the Eagles playing against the Cowboys Thanksgiving, is the Packers and Eagles at 8:20. It's the Giants and Cowboys Thanksgiving. God, I had that totally wrong. Apologies on that. See, I'm a person that like to try to get things right where people might sit there and listen, but like, man, what is he talking about? That's a mistake on my ears. It's an NFC East game nonetheless, for the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. So let me get that right. Cowboys and Giants Thanksgiving. I probably said that last episode, so if you heard me say that, I'm clearing that up now. It's Giants Cowboys this Thursday, and then you got Sunday of 8:20 Philly and the Green Bay Packers, which Packers season I think is pretty much finished. But back to the 49ers, to what my point was, just saying that I feel like that they are the second best team in the NFC, but maybe could be better than the Eagles. If they, I mean, I don't know, man. It could be. They could be. I don't know. But, you know, playing in Mexico, it's the last of the international series, I believe. I don't think there's any more games going to be played internationally. That's going to round it up. And it was pretty good. Got to see Pentagon Jr. there. They showed him on TV. Just watched him on the pay-per-view AEW Full Gear. If any AEW fans that listen, you know, Pentagon was in the building, you know, saying he gave George Kittle a dope 49ers mask that, you know, saying a luchador mask, which everybody knows about, you know, the luchadors and you know, I'm talking wrestling here. You know, that was pretty cool. And him, you know, winning the tag team, the trio tag team with Rey Fénix and Neville. That, you know what I'm saying, like I said, the AEW, I think, being close to football the way they are is pretty cool because a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars, which the owner of the Jags, his nephew, owns the AEW. So, I mean, like, it's a lot of, like, interminglings there with AEW in the NFL, more so than with WWE, I would say. So, that was pretty cool to see that. But, you know, so it was just cool to see that this is the second time they played in Mexico. I remember when Ron Rivera actually head coached that game. That was, I think, that the first game they did in Mexico, which I thought was pretty cool that they did that. But, good game. But, hey, 49ers opened up a can of whoop-ass. I mean, I would say Jimmy Garoppolo played good. He got away with some interceptions that he could have been logged on there, maybe by one or two of them. He went 20 of 29, 228 yards, and 4 touchdown passes. They got the run game going. Almost 100-something rushing between Mitchell, McCaffrey, Samuel, Mason. And Speaking of McCaffrey, he had over 100 yards damn near receiving with seven catches. So George Kittle had two touchdowns, and Ayuk had two as well. I think the one big touchdown that everybody that remembers is Debo Samuel's 39-yard touchdown run was pretty damn good. Goodness gracious, man. That, like, he was out of there. You know what I'm saying? And he's just so damn good. It just, like, it's lightning in a bottle, man. Lightning in a bottle. And with somebody that packs a punch like him, you know, to try to bring him down, he can run you over. Now, last year in the playoffs, he got blasted, which was kind of like, not say defensive, he just didn't see it coming, but he can lower the boom. He ain't no weak wide receiver. And I remember when he got hit in that playoff game, I was like, well, if he was kind of ready for that, you know, if he was ready for that, like, I don't think that tackle would have been the way it was in that Green Bay game, honest to God. Because, like, it was cold. You know what I'm saying? He came in, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a stick. But Samuel is a tough guy. And I think him, A.J. Brown, of course, D.K. Metcalf, I think one of the toughest wide receivers in the league, you know what I'm saying, just being just, like, physically strong. I mean, there's some other ones I may have missed, but those are the top three I think about for being with the physicality, you know what I'm saying, being with all about that mess, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you got Mike Thomas, but he's been hurt. You know, he's decent in that regard of not being a pushover. But Devontae Adams, I guess you can put in there as well. But just pure physicality, I put A.J. Brown, I put D.K. Metcalf, and I put Debo Samuel as people that you don't want to be there when it's time to tackle them at the wide receiver position. You don't want to be there because, you know, there's other guys out there that may be a little slippery, elusive, and stuff like that. That's all well and good. You got your Cooper Kupps and OBJs. You got your, you know, Amari Coopers with the route running and all that good stuff. You got your CeeDee Lambs and you know, naming these names. But when it comes to trying to get somebody down, whew, I guess I could put Mike Williams and T. Higgins with that just a little bit. I don't know, maybe not T. Higgins, but I'm just trying to give some other people some credit if I leave some people out of physical wide receivers. But I strongly believe that the three I named are that top hierarchy that maybe most people would agree with. And Debo Samuel is just that most elusive one out of that top three. And I mean, I would love him on the Buccaneers, just to be completely honest with you. But I love when the 49ers, only time I really respect the 49ers is when they kind of wear those 94 uniforms a little bit. So, but that's just me. Past history, you know what I'm saying, with the 49ers, especially with my brother being at his team and stuff like that. I think that's funny. But that it concludes the week with them winning 38-10 the way they did. And just with no Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals, they just didn't really have it all the way together. You know, they tried to bring in Trace McSorley again. And that didn't, you know what I'm saying, like, it just, you know, they were just, you know, bringing in that garbage time, I guess. Because, you know, Colt McCoy threw 34 pass, 218 at the pick. And it just wasn't going to be in the cards for him. You know, it just wasn't going to be a good game for him going to try to get in the end zone. I mean, you got D-Hop the catches. You got Dortch some catches, but no touchdowns. You know, what was going to keep going wrong with, you know what I'm saying, not being able to get that in that red zone position and get it done, you know what I'm saying? And then when you throw a pick, that's a big setback. And, you know, the defense was just purely uninterested at that point, knowing that the offense is not going to be able to produce. You know, they're going to start giving up points. And that's just how that happens. I mean, that's the recipe for that is if you're off defense, see that offense ain't going to do nothing. They out there, you know, they might give a couple of decent good efforts and seeing that, oh, my God, we're going to be out here really just playing hard for nothing. And that's when the points are going to pour on. Right then and there. I mean, right then and there. I mean, let's just be real with it. Yesterday, we had some events go down in the World Cup. We had England down Iran. We had Wales tied up in a dramatic fashion with Gareth Bale on a penalty kick to tie it up against USA. And we had Netherlands defeat Senegal. I think a one big shocker is that Argentina taking an L. I mean, damn. They came on way, way, way late. I ain't no way I could have been able to peep that one. But take a 2-1 L after an early goal by Messi in the first 10 minutes with a penalty kick. And you know, you think when you play some good defense and things get popping. But Saudi Arabia was about their life. And 2 goals later, you know, they get it done. And they win 2-1. You know, that was big time. 48th minute and the 53rd minute after half, they got it popping. So for the rest of the day, I think at 2 o'clock we got France and Australia, Mexican and Poland. Some interesting games right now. Denmark and Tunisia is playing. So the World Cup is popping, man. So people got some other sports. Got a nice special sport to watch there, with football and basketball going on. NBA last night. I think I want to say the Pelicans beat the trash out of the Warriors. The Pelicans can really be a tough out in this regular season with the youth they have. You know, Zion was kind of limited. He only had 9 points, but Brandon Ingram is a stud. I mean, 34 points, he is a problem. You know, Devontae Graham provided 19. Alvarado had 10 with 3 steals. You know how he do. And the one big thing is that having somebody like a C.J. McCollum, even though he only played 21 minutes and had 15 points, you know, having him is big time. Valanciunas is big time. So, like, they have a veteranship. They can, even on the bench, words can really pump up players like a Marshall, like a Daniels, like Herb Jones, hella defensive player who had 3 blocks. You know what I'm saying? A shooting guard. So, I mean, like, they going in the right direction with that. But Brandon Ingram, man, is a pure stud. Other games I think to pay attention to, the Cavaliers beat the Hawks. 29 points for Donovan Mitchell. 9 assists. Trae Young had 25 and 10. Donovan Mitchell got it done. But, hey, here's the thing. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they are going to have somebody else is going to end up scoring good for them because they just – they have that. Now, they might not be all great defensively. You know, Mobley's a little thin in there, but he can still get some blocks and stuff like that. Jared Allen, he's you know, he can be there and be a presence. He had 11 boards with 2 steals and a block. But they're shooting. They're able to score. Garland, 26. Osman had 23. On a good day, he can sit there and do that. Add that with the 29 that Mitchell had. You know what I'm saying? You throw in some eights and some eights. You know, it turns out to be a good game. And, you know, their defensiveness, like I said, they can be long and they can really distract you from, you know, run you off the three-point line. If you go into the lane, if they don't foul, they have long people that can make shots difficult for you. Jared Allen is somebody I look at as, like, should have, like, 5 blocks a game. But, you know, you, in a perfect world, you're not going to even get that from, like, somebody like a true shot blocker, you know. So, I mean, like, you're asking for a whole lot there. Miami Heat, Minnesota Timberwolves, 101-105. Carl Anthony Towns had 25-9-8. That's big time. Last time I remember with the Timberwolves was that Anthony Edwards was having some problems. He was just standing around and, you know, it was kind of like, I don't know, just not in it. They weren't in it to try to be winning. And, you know, D'Angelo Russell having some bad numbers still. Struggling, 27 minutes, only had 3 points and 5 assists. Anthony Edwards had 22 and 7 with Towns 25. I think Anthony Edwards' big thing is that he just wants Conley Towns to just get out of the perimeter. Like, you don't have to shoot, you know, a kajillion threes. I think, but Towns is going to shoot him. You know what I'm saying? He's going to get him up there. He shot 8 of them, only went 2-8, 25% in the game. So, I mean, I think that's one thing that he probably wishes that he did not do, because he's like, I'm going to shoot 12 threes, you know. But it is a three-point shooting league. It's what we got going. You know, it's what people do. They're going to shoot. It's a shooter shoot. You know, even big shoot. We were talking about Miles Turner for the Indiana Pacers. He's a shooter. He considers himself a shooter. So we got these bigs out here consider themselves as shooters. AD is persistent with shooting threes, even though he's shooting that damn 20%. So that's what we have. Jazz went down to the Clippers. Jazz been playing really good with Markkanen leading the way, averaging big-time points. He had 25 and 10. But Powell brought the big stuff for the Clippers with 30 points. I wonder if Kawhi played. It makes you wonder. Norman Powell had 30. Paul George didn't play. Kawhi Leonard didn't. Oh, no. Luke Kennard didn't play. Paul George did not play. Kawhi Leonard had 8 points in 23 minutes. What's going on with that guy? Trey Mann had 6. Marcus Morris had 8. But, hey, Reggie Jackson, Norman Powell said, we got it. John Paul had 30. I mean, had 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 8 assists. John Wall, I'm glad he's out there. Man, Zubiak had, you know, 14-14. I wish John Wall would have went to the Lakers. I wish Zubac would still be on the Lakers. Jesus, man. He's 2 blocks, 14-14. That's pretty darn good, if you ask me. Clippers are looking good. The Bulls beat the Boston Celtics after a 28-point effort by Tatum, but back by a 28-point effort by DeRozan. 8 rebounds, 4 assists for another player that could have been playing for the Lakers. Thought it was a done deal, but it didn't happen. 2 years later, here we are. He's playing for the Bulls, and hopefully they can get Lonzo Ball and their full team back so they can be fully competitive. If you look at the standings so far, it's not a lot of games being played, about 17, 18 games played. You know, Boston is running things in the East, it looks like right now, Milwaukee, Cleveland. Some teams that need to get it or turn it around, I guess you know, Brooklyn and Philly. Those are the two teams that I just can't believe that they're in a bottom mix right now. Other than that, you can look at the Heat. We're struggling with that being there near Orlando. But here in the West, number one shocking, you have Utah Jazz, you have the Phoenix Suns. Two teams that I don't think that's going to be championship ready, but they could be. You know, who knows? Marketing could just end up being marketing, a new star that we could mark down. It's like, hey, him, Colin Sexton, they got with Jordan Clarkson. I mean, like, what is going on here? Phoenix Suns, I'm one of the teams that I sit there and said that possibly could make it back to the finals. If they just stay healthy and just keep playing the way they play, just like be under the radar because people that got over the little buzz, the people trying to call Devin Booker soft, trying to sit there and act like, you know, he's not a superstar, you know, he got the cover 2K, people didn't like his rating and stuff like that, but he's just going to keep doing what he do. Keep doing what he do. They're second in the West. You know, Denver, you got Clippers, you got the Kings is 5 in the Pelicans. It's wow. No Grizzlies, no Mavericks. You know, the Mavericks, you know, like Luka sitting there, you know, trying to do everything, dribble 50 times, shoot, give somebody water out there in the crowd and everything else. Golden State has one of the worst benches in the NBA right now, struggling. Steph Curry, 30-some years old, killing it, though. Killing it, averaging 30. And like 8. Like he's definitely on one. A couple nights ago, he hit a deep 3. On the Rockets and put him to bed. I mean, like, he's just doing some big things. Spurs, the Lakers, I mean, I guess you could say the Lakers have been on the tear. They've won, 5 in a row? You know, Austin Reeves, you know, got some flirtation going on over there by some women, and next thing you know, he's turned into a monster out there. You know, him, Russ, you know, AD had a 30 and 18 rebound game. They're turning around without LeBron, so now everybody's like, trade LeBron! You gotta trade LeBron! We ain't trade LeBron. What are we trade LeBron for? I tell you what. You don't trade LeBron James. You just wait till he gets healthy. You come back, and I think one of the big parts of when a player is out and a team has success is that somewhat the player that's being out may be impacting that. You know. People got to look at that. He could be impacting still being out. So when he comes back, the impact can still be high. And he can impact in ways. So everybody's sitting there saying like, oh, man. The only thing that can be said is true as a fact is that him and Russell Westbrook on the court at the same time is a detriment. That's it. So, I mean, like, somebody's have to get over their ego or whatever like that and try to figure out a way to keep those guys off the court at the same time to make the team more successful. Because when Russ has a crew and Bron has a crew, everything's winning. If Russ is with AD on the court at the same time, I think it can work. If Bron and AD on the court, we already seen it can work. But all three on the court at the same time, we've seen. It just don't work. It don't work. It don't work, man. It just don't work. Houston Rockets, I'm looking at to see if Jalen Green is really going to make this year. But having 3 wins so far, 14 losses, man. I mean, you can have the 20, 30 point games and stuff like that. You can show this and that. He's got to turn into wins somehow, man. He's got to be able to get some wins. He's got to get some things together. It's a big year for Jalen Green. So I'm really up I'm really paying attention to seeing his growth and things like that, but you could just hope to see if the team can come together and start getting some wins, because they got some talented players on the team. They got some real talented players. And just like, you know, like I'm scoping the Magic, you know, they got a somewhat of a, you know, couple wins ahead of them. You want to keep them, you know, on the eye, but they're dealing with some injuries. Cole Anthony, Paolo with an ankle sprain, you know, like they got some things. Isaac still ain't played no basketball. Fultz is out. So, I mean, like, they got to get some things going. So, some young teams, you know, that you on the rise, Hornets, Pistons, you know, like I said, the Rockets, Thunder, you know, Giddy's having a sophomore slump. He's not having what you would call a kind of a year that you expect, especially with the kind of year that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's having, who is tearing things up. You kind of wish that Giddy was playing. They don't have their number one pick in, they played, and his name escaped me. Oh, my Lord. Can I believe it? But Mr. Chet Holmgren, who has not, you know, who's out for the season, who sat there playing with LeBron James at a pro-am and ended up hurting his foot, and he's out. And I'm just like, damn, we was cheated out at least seeing if he can be able to manage the rigors of, you know, physicality, game after game. And we seen that very early that he ain't ready. Because the one thing people would say, he shouldn't been playing in no pro-am. There's a lot of people played in pro-am. Paolo played in it. Now, he got an ankle sprain in the NBA. Playing in the NBA. Didn't get hurt none in the pro-am. So it's just like, you can't sit there and just say what a player can't do when they want to do something. They want to play. Professionals play basketball, you know? That's what they do. So, can't kill all that noise of, oh, man, I wouldn't have did this and stuff. Would have got hurt in the first couple games in the NBA. I mean, like, if you're ready, you're ready. If you're not, you're going to get hurt. Kyrie, people injury prone, you know, Grant Hills, and people work on it and stuff like that. I mean, like, come on. What are we doing here? What are we really doing? So, after a quick break, we'll come back and we'll talk about some boxing. Give a little boxing corner there, and then we're going to call this an episode. How about that? But like I said, the one thing that finalizes this whole NBA talk is that coming up here in the future is we want to see who is going to be front running in the MVP. Right now it's too early, but like I said, later on down the road, we're going to see who's really leading things in the MVP race. Man, I've seen some great highlights from some great players, and one was last night seeing Greek Freak just dunk on the life of Nurkic. I mean, like, Jesus, man, the elevation. He looked like an elevator. He looked like a ladder climbing up, and the way he dunked on him was something else. But we, like I said, after a quick break, I'm going to be back, and we'll talk about some boxing. All right, good people. Glad to be back. Here we can talk about some boxing. So what's going down in boxing? It's 2022 coming to an end. We almost at Thanksgiving this week, and then we got Christmas. So it's always December fights going down, you know, some late November fights and stuff like that. Always rumors going around. There's rumors every single day with social media. So boxing takes advantage of that rumor mill almost every chance it gets. So. Jesus, Lord. We have this week, as far as what I wanted to see, the vacant WBC Junior Welterweight title, 140, at a time to where I felt like if Terrence Crawford wanted to be flashing around a 140 undisputed title, you know what I'm saying, would have been when Josh Taylor, Regis Prograis, Tank Davis enters the fray. Now, that's not to say that if he still would have been in 140, if those fighters would have been trying to knock on the door to try to fight him, maybe they have, maybe they not. I don't know. But I will say that fighting Ndongo and guys like that, Lundy, they're not Regis Prograis. They're not even Jose Zepeda. So, hey, this fight, which is to be announced what TV channel is going to be on, but fighting in Carson, California, Regis Prograis, and Jose Zepeda is going to be fighting Saturday. Regis Prograis versus Jose Zepeda. Harlem Eubank versus Tom Ferrell. That's going to be in the UK. I want to say that this kid is this. Hold on now. Let me get this right because Okay. Well, I had to get that right. I was making sure now because seeing the name, it's like, okay, he is the cousin of Chris Eubank in the family of, you know, Chris Eubank Jr. is his cousin. Chris Eubank Sr., I take it that's, you know, that's, I guess he would call him his uncle. So we have some boxing, you know, blood, you know, still going through all the way back, you know, same with Chris Eubank having awards with Nigel Benn and some other UK fighters because, you know, he didn't have an American invasion or anything during his career. His son, Chris Eubank Jr., has, you know, has a good career at being a pro. Nothing superstar-ish, nothing you can call Hall of Fame-ish, but he's been a productive professional boxer who can make a living. So they're going to be getting it on. So I think as far as the big time, you know, belts or things that's going around, Dillian White is going to be fighting on the zone against Jermaine Franklin. Dillian White's name stays around because the UK, you know, they love boxing. And I think with Harlem Eubanks going to get a good turnout, and I think Dillian White is going to get a good turnout. He's going to be fighting Wembley, and Harlem's going to be fighting in London. So, like I said, this is a good turnout just for both of those guys. They love boxing over there. Like, if they fought over here, I don't think that, you know what I'm saying, the pumping up, you know, it just wouldn't be as heightened as what it is over there. But the next big fight that's going to be coming over here to the States, I will say, would be, Chocolatito is going to be fighting Estrada. I think they're fighting for a third time, December 3rd. They're going to be fighting in Glendale, Arizona. Chocolatito is a legend in the bantamweight. Or should I say, I want to say bantamweight. I think I'm correct on that. Flyweight, excuse me. This is for the WBC World Flyweight. Yeah, to get that right. No. Let me get this right, man. What was... Yeah, 115 pounds. So this is 115 pounds. That is bantamweight. Yeah, I was right. Junior bantamweight. Just junior bantamweight. Because bantamweight is 125. 122. I think bantamweight is 122. No, bantamweight is 125. 126. 126. That is crazy. Well, I hate those damn weights. I hate that they sit there and do all this junior. This is all this stuff like that. I knew he was fighting in not no lightweight. He's not 130. You know, he's not 135. But Chocolatito is a legend in his own right, though, man. And this fight with Estrada, like I said, this is the third clash that they are having. And it's going to be interesting to see. Chocolatito is a person that can throw amazing combinations. He likes to get in the mix. The one thing that's bad about him is that the punishment that he takes doing so. I think that's the one thing. Jesse Bam Rodriguez let me get this right here. With these little weights, 115, 120, 126. Like, I'm not here to poo-poo y'all. But it is tough to get behind watching those fights with those guys without having the proper... Because I'm all here for it. But it's all for the proper presentation of what people want to, you know. I'm not sitting there saying that Max Kellerman has to be talking about these guys. I'm not sitting there saying that, you know, they should be headlining Top Rank at ESPN or DAZN. I mean, that they shouldn't be. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be. I'm just saying that it would be nice for the promotion to be just a little bit better. I think that's the one thing that's lacking, that from good talent, from Inoue, Chocolatitos, Rigondeaux, guys that are not going to see 130, 135 just because their bodies can't. And they got amazing talent. Jesse Ben Rodriguez. I mean, the names go on, and we don't get the proper promotion for these fights is what I'm saying. And if that happened, I think it would make it a lot better for a Chocolatito to get that name out there, for Juan Francisco Estrada to get that name out there. It's just something to think about as far as like how people promote these fly straw bantamweight fights. It is not like whenever Rigondeaux fight, don't air. Like, nobody wanted to sit there and talk about Rigondeaux's a two-time Olympic gold medalist. You know what I'm saying? Like, the hype, you know, pump it up, put it in front of something. We want to see the good fights, the best fights, but you have the media pushing something where it's like, oh, they're not going to knock each other out. Nobody's going to want to watch that. Push it. Promote it. You know? And, you know, I see ESPN, they try to push Inoue just a little bit. But it's like, you're trying to push him weirdly to where it's like, push him on a big night. You know what I'm saying? He might take a co-main event on a big main event if Terrence Crawford is fighting, or if, well, he was on Top Rank. But if you got a Lomachenko, or if you got somebody that you're trying to push, push him on a co-main. You know, put a good co-main with Inoue as the main. Now him coming on all super late and all that stuff like that, like later than what a superstar boxer would be on. I don't understand that. Josh Warrington, you know, another guy that's fighting out of the UK. He's got a good name for himself, but it's UK bass. It's UK boxing fans, man. So it's like, with boxing fans so fickle to where it's like, if you promoted heavy over there, they'd be like, let's get it. I don't see the promotion is the same. That's my big gripe. Because Roman Gonzalez is, you know, Chocolatito is a good kid. December 3rd, we got Tyson Fury, Derek Chiarosa. I don't like it, not one bit. But it's going to sell out. It's going to be raucous. It's going to be, you know, it's Tyson Fury and Derek Chiarosa, man. No, that's not the reason why. It's because, like I said, for this first 10 minutes of the segment, UK boxing fans, you know, it's going down. I mean, they're going to be singing, "Ah, Sweet Caroline." They might throw in John Denver and say, "Take me home, country roads, to the place where I belong, West Virginia." I'm just saying. It's just so pandemonium with how they get behind their people. And when you have England versus, you know, UK versus UK, or you have like that type of fight, they take it in. It's like, this is our fight. This is our guys. This is our setup. This is our event. Let's go shove it, Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? For that night. You know, they're like, yeah, we holding it down. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, man. It's going down December 3rd. Michael Conlan, the Irishman, fighting out of Belfast. He's going to be fighting in his home country. It's pretty darn good. That's December 10th. Should be on ESPN. Michael Kaye is an exciting fighter to watch. He's very exciting. Also, we got Teofimo Lopez going to be fighting against Sander Martin in New York City. Same day. One fight is going to be earlier. Other fight is going to be at night. Teofimo usually does good in Madison Square Garden. Terrence Crawford, of course. He's going to be fighting for this new promotion called Black Prime, BLK Prime. It was Black Prime, BLK Prime, whatever. He's going to be in Omaha, Nebraska. They gave him his wish to fight in his hometown. He's going to be fighting David Avanzian, something he calls a tough fighter. Gee whiz. You know, course, the fighter took the fight. They didn't want to take the fight against a better fight. He's going to call this a tough fight because he's making more money. And then he wants to go on social media and call people broke and do all that stuff that bothered people do. Terrence Crawford is bothered because he knows what people think and he knows that it's kind of right. And it's like, it's not to where he's like, damn, like, I'm not no bitch. But it's like, I don't want to take no L because he's not going to walk away a bitch losing to Errol Spence. Yeah, he's going to take an L and it's like, I'm going to be like, damn. But his manhood ain't going to be hurt. Like, he ain't going to, like, it just, he's going to lose. And at this point, you don't want to lose an L whenever you can capitalize and still being in a pound-for-pound, talking about pound-for-pound number one and Terrence Crawford, Omaha. A lot of that would dissipate a little bit, especially losing Errol Spence. Because, I'm not, like I said, it's not like he's going to demasculate him. It's just like he's going to beat him down. It's like, it's going to be like, whoa, he really beat him. And it's like, it's going to be like he's going to fade away. It's like, well, one loss. He is that underdog team that can't take a loss. He is that TCU that can't lose. Michigan, Ohio State, they can lose. They can stand to lose. One of those teams can lose and still end up being in the playoffs thanks to Tennessee. Terrence Crawford can't lose. Errol Spence can afford to take an L right now. If Errol Spence lost, it's not sitting there saying that, oh, everything would be good. What I'm saying is if Errol Spence took an L, he still has the better resume than Terrence Crawford. He's made more money than Terrence Crawford. I would say with him being under a trusted longevity promotion would say that he's in better hands as well by being a part of PBC and Al Heyman. So it's like, would this whole be okay? Prime, we don't know what stronghold they have on Terrence Crawford, what is going to go down and things like that. And then if he messes around and loses, he don't have Bob Arum to run back to. So it's like, I think that making that fight is a little bit hesitant for him is the fact that it's like, damn, I can't lose that fight because if I do, it's definitely going to fuck up some stuff, man. Point blank period. So that's what he has in mind to where it's like, I can get this win against this David Avazian, get this 10 milli, and then I have fight Errol Spence because he knows that he's not on the A side for Errol. He knows he's going to make significantly less than Errol. His activity is the reason. He has nothing but to blame but of who he fought and how many times he fought, because we're not counting 140 pounds like I mentioned about the talent coming up with like Regis, Josh Taylor, and those guys. Because getting in the ring with those guys could show something where it's like, he went ahead and moved up. He fought Horn. He fought Danny Garcia. He has fought nobody, really. I would give Benavidez maybe as his best opponent. And I don't even really think Benavidez could beat Danny Garcia, just that Danny Garcia is just, you know, I think, like, at this point, like, he's felt civilized. I don't think he really has the real hunger in him. You feel what I'm saying? He beat Kell Brook. I mean, like, come on. Errol Spence Ben did that. Errol Spence Ben did that. So get what I'm saying, man. That's all I'm trying to say. Sometimes you can just bend and did some stuff to where it's like, I don't care that Terrence Crawford did that. That's how Errol Spence is looking at it. And like Errol Spence tweeted the other day, or yesterday, I want to say, is when he said, like, he was like, you know, he was like, I'll let y'all know on an announcement. He was like, I got blindsided a couple weeks ago, so I don't really know what the hell's going down. He don't. He really don't. It's like, damn, like, I was supposed to be fighting Terrence Crawford, man. I was supposed to be signed, sealed, delivered. What happened? You know what I'm saying? Back to what I was talking about, though, with the littler weights. Because the Tuesday, December the 13th, next fight up to talk about is anyway, like I brought up, fighting against Paul Butler. They're fighting in Japan. But why not Saturday? You know, And I know it has to be early in the day, but why not Saturday? Why on a Tuesday night we got an undisputed bantamweight? This guy's undisputed, man. He's got the IBF, WAWL, WBC. Why is this fight on a Tuesday? I understand it. I really don't understand it. This is a horrible, 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 horrible job of promotion. Just terrible. Just terrible, man. The only thing I can just keep thinking about is how terrible that is to where, like, you know, people gonna be like, man, that anyway tough, but how they gonna know that on a Tuesday? Maybe it may be wrong. I could be wrong. Maybe some people like, man, I watched that boxing match on Tuesday. Anyway, man, we'll see. January the 7th, next big fight known today. Of course, we know Javonte Davis is going to be fighting against Hector Luis Garcia. Showtime is going to be running it. Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C., hometown of Tank Davis. Because he, you know, has the big fight already set, made, matched. It's going to be in Las Vegas. It's going down against Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia is supposed to be fighting a tune-up, too, in the head of that fight. So I can't wait for that to go down. But we got to see Javonte Davis go against Hector Luis Garcia. Another big fight that got announced that I can't wait to see. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? We got to wait a little bit, though. But, hey, January the 28th, Artur Bitterbeef will be fighting against somebody who had a very good showing last time. I think it was a couple weeks ago. Anthony Yardy. And Anthony Yardy, he has shown, you know, some toughness. But I think the one thing from his last fight is how to finish. And you know what I'm saying, and after not fighting for a while, it's good to see him back out there knowing how to finish somebody. So that's a damn good fight that's going to be in Wembley, OVO Arena. Like I said, man, BT Sports, BTS Sports, it's going down. ESPN is going to be showing it too. Anthony Yard versus Artur Bitterbeef in Wembley. So that fight is going to be probably going around like 4, maybe 5 o'clock during the day. January the 28th. Can't wait for that one. That's going to be a good one, man. Because other than Bitterbeef versus Bivol, this is the only other fight that's the peep right here, man. This is it. So I'm really excited about that. I'm happy that, you know, that's a fight right there. A lot of people are like, who are these guys? Like, but they're really good. And one retired somebody. Bitterbeef retired somebody who retired people. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was called the Nail. And his he got beat up so bad by Bitterbeef, he could quit boxing. And so Bitterbeef is a person that does not fight often. He's not very active, and he's getting a little older. Yardy is a young guy. He's coming up. Ah, this is going to be interesting. I can't wait to see this, man. It got announced 2 days ago. Very excited about it, man. Very excited about it. So, but those are the matches that's going down the pike. Side stuff to talk about is, like I said, Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia. That's going to be a good one whenever that goes down to happen. They've been drawing back and forth on social media, going back and forth. They're really going to be selling this fight. Speaking of selling a fight, you know, everybody knows that Jake Paul, Tommy Fury, they went crazy during the Floyd Mayweather event. Tommy Fury fought a short notice fight against somebody that really should have took his head off. They fought with ginormous gloves and didn't really land any punches. They pretty much just had a sparring session, didn't really touch each other. After the fight, you know, weird pandemonium, I guess you can sit there and name that. Weird pandemonium. I guess you can say, man, like, Tyson Fury's dad, John Fury, took his shirt off and tried to get Jake Paul. It was just all, I think it was all for the people in the ring that were just trying to get a bit of, like, you know, this is going to make more money. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what it's going to be. And it's like, we're going to try to milk this to where it's going to be kind of big. But I think I hate it, though, because it's like, we don't really know how good Tommy Fury is. We don't know. I have not really seen him be good. So I don't know. So this sparring match that he had, nobody did nothing. It had to the point where Jake Paul acted like he was falling asleep. So it wasn't nothing as a sample to sit there and say, oh man, maybe he could hurt Jake Paul. So it's like all the antics after the fight, I don't really buy too much into, because it's not sitting there and say, oh man, they both talked in the back and planned it. No. It's just something to where, like, Jake Paul's looking at it like, man, I am that intricate, important. I'm that big of a, you know, somebody would have to act like that to get people to buy in. That's all that attempt is. We're going to get people to buy in. People are going to want to watch Jake Paul anyway, but why do we want to watch Tyson Fury? He just backed out of the last two fights, so doing that antic had to be done. It had to be done. It just had to be done, period. More things to talk about would be the fact that how can I put this in this way that when people talk about the YouTube fights and stuff like that, and it's taking ruining boxing or taking over boxing, and I've always sit there and said, oh, it's just helping boxing. It's just helping boxing be more popular, that people actually want to go box instead of roll around in an octagon, because these same celebrities, YouTubers, stuff like that, they could have been banging on Dana White's door and seeing that the money you can make. I don't see them turning it down. So, I mean, like, it's something correlates to where it's just you have your own governing body with it, where you can search out whoever wants to buy it, just like Jake Paul and Showtime. You know, there's some people out there that can go and say, oh, I'm boxing now, and come out with a couple of tapes and whatnot, show them hitting the bag, and the next thing you know, they get into a conversation at a Costco or somewhere like that, and it's like, whoa, you know, and then maybe that person might end up being famous for, you know, for a little bit. Then somebody comes out and be like, man, they wouldn't be able to do that to me, and then they make a fight happen. It's a celebrity boxing match, and then it's like, it was weird. It was laughed at in the late 90s and early 2000s, and going through, it was like, oh, Screech versus, you know, Lawrence Taylor. Like, oh, God. But they didn't go against each other, but they was in the same celebrity boxing thing that was going on at the time. But I remember certain matchups where it was like, oh, you know, okay, like, this, here we go. But now, the big difference is now you have these celebrities getting in shape. I mean, like, you have a whole new thing of people getting fit and people spending money on training and different things like that. So then you start seeing people in their physique, and then you see people in their physique, and then you see them doing the training. Like, I wonder what it'd be like in the ring. And then they get into a beef with another celebrity and they're doing the same thing. And then it's like, whoa, it becomes more interesting because you see people in shape. I guarantee you that's a big difference. That's a big difference in that. For me, I know, because watching Screech and whatchacallit get in there is like, I think it was Screech and freaking, who did he go up against? I mean, he went up against a bunch of people. Rest in peace to him. I remember, what was the guy from the one TV show, the little kid, Leave It to Beaver, something like that. I remember it was a mockery. It got laughed at. I remember a kid from Different Strokes was on there. You know, it was like Tonya Harding, Lawrence Taylor, like I mentioned. Yeah, it grew to where they go, might fight Butterbean. Like, that was a fool's type of celebrity thing that was going on. And then next thing you know, Shaq went up against Oscar De La Hoya. You know, he wanted to do things in different sports. He wanted to race Michael Johnson and stuff like that. So it grew to a point to where I think when Conor McGregor fought Floyd, people didn't really look at that as like a fight. They looked at it like a celebrity fighting Floyd. And honest to God, knowing that he's an MMA fighter, people was like, I can call out McGregor. And then I'm going to call out McGregor. And I'm going to call out Floyd. And then I'm going to call out this person. The next thing you know, Logan Paul and KSI are fighting. But here's the thing that made it interesting. Both of them got in tremendous shape. They both got good physiques. It made it interesting to look at. It was like, wow, like, they don't look terrible. You know, like, Logan looked like he, you know, he boxes terrible, but his shape. KSI, same thing. They fought twice. It grew. Jake Paul knocks out Nate Robinson. We have things spinning now because he turned into a meme. So I was like, whoa, where's the next Jake Paul fight? He fights Ben Askren. What happens? Another meme. So it's like, whoa, what's the next is going to happen? And now, look what happened. Look how it grew. Look at the evolution of this boxing now to where, like I said, it's not killing it, it's helping. So when it comes into saying maybe hurting just a little bit, is the fact that some things people may, oh man, this little WWE is, you know, you're sitting there going, yelling at the ring and stuff. Man, just do it. Because, you know, there's a reason why in Rocky III they put that in there. There's a reason why they put certain things in boxing movies when they have altercations and stuff like that, because it makes it more entertaining. Period. The only thing is of the boxing tradition to say is don't talk about sparring. Don't talk about filming it, showing it. If you're sparring somebody that you might end up fighting years later, you don't want to talk about it and all that stuff like that. That is an unwritten rule. But now when you say is anything goes, it's with boxing. It's like, man, we got, you know, Jake Paul. We got, you know, guys like, you know, Le'Veon Bell wanting to come up, step up and stuff like that, man. Like, we having these fights and Frank Gore's and, you know, now Frank Gore and Le'Veon Bell need to go and get at it. See, now that's nice to look at, where it's like, man, Frank Gore might could knock out Le'Veon Bell. You know what I'm saying? Le'Veon Bell maybe took on too much trying to fight a pro guy that, you know, end up, you know, getting him, giving him a little bit there. Uriah Hall did a good job of closing the distance and stuff like that. Made it tough for Le'Veon. Le'Veon didn't have no oomph on his punches because of retreat and just trying to be timid in a sense. So that would be interesting to see how he would get back to that aggressiveness throwing that right hand that he threw at Adrian Peterson if he fought Frank Gore. So there's an opening for a care or a wonder or something to be like, man, that'd be nice to see. Because we just saw Ricky Hatton go against Babyface Marco Antonio Barrera, and that wasn't terrible to look at. Wasn't terrible at all. Nice little exhibition. So it's like it's something that Mike Tyson started with fighting Roy Jones. Look what it did. Oscar De La Hoya was about to get back out there. You know, he was wanting to fight Trinidad, but he was ended up going to fight who? I forgot. He was going to fight Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., wasn't he? Or somebody like that, and he caught COVID. So it was like, you have these opportunities where these guys can come back. So now we have that arena. We got the celebrity. We got the influencer. We got, you know, now the ladies influencers are getting into it and getting into these boxing matches. So it's like Black China I saw. So it's like you have these opportunities to maximize and make money. You know, why not help the sport of boxing in a sense? So it's not sitting there saying that it's hurting Errol Spence and Terrence Crawfords and Tyson Furies of the world and guys like that, Shakur Stevenson's and guys like that, it's not hurting them. It's not sitting there saying that Jake Paul's a bigger star than them. It's that Jake Paul got his popularity for something else, for somewhere else. So he's taken that and he started working out in boxing. He's not sitting there taking a, like, yeah, he might not be fighting Bitter Beef or anything, but I will at least say that for a professional who doesn't have more than 10 wins, they're going to be fighting other professionals that look like these guys that he's fighting. And that's the tough pill for people to kind of swallow, because they're not watching those fights. And I'm not either. Because I can tell you this one thing. There's nothing worse than sitting there watching a 4-0 pro versus like a guy that's got like 7-7. Because it's going to end quick if the guy's really good. Or it's going to be real sloppy. The guy's going to be sitting there making it tough for the guy that's 4-0. And it's going to go to all four rounds. And his fight's going to be over. So at least with that being said, we got some type of parody, some type of entertainment, some type of competitive level of like engagement to where it's like, oh, like they're shit talking. It's a big grander thing because it's Jake Paul. But he is a professional boxer. He is taking it serious. He's training and things like that. And he's tried to fight Tommy Fury twice, who he's a pro, and I don't even think that he has fought a real pro. So get with me on this, okay? It's more or less basically saying, like, Jake Paul's celebrity or his influence gives him the chance to showcase his boxing ability against lower talent fighters because of record. And it's legit. But y'all are thinking because it's pay-per-view or we got to pay for it on TV or we got to wait for it and it's a big deal thing, it's press conference, stuff like that. You're sitting there thinking to yourself like, man, I'm not watching the championship fight. Why am I watching him? He's not even fighting nobody. Ah, man, he's fighting the rig. Like, why is he? Get with me on this now. Pay attention to me. This is what y'all are saying, but this is what y'all are not understanding. He is basically saying, hey, man, like, some people out here that love boxing so much or just like want to see me get beat or see this, whatever, like, yeah, it's no different than somebody that a football fan that whenever the NFL season is, they're like, damn, there's no more football. And then here comes the XFL. XFL going to have bring in some celebrities. They're going to bring in some new things. Now, I ain't saying celebrity players, but my thing is that they're going to put bells and whistles in place to keep your eye trained on it. And then you'll keep watching it. Then it's like, okay, I got something at the NFL I can watch with the XFL. The Rock and his ex-wife, they working as a partnership. They're getting it together. Everything's all good. They got some teams that matter. The draft that just happened. Everything is putting together with this XFL season kicking back. So when people, the NFL is over, these fans are going to sit there and they're going to go, oh, man, we got no more football. But forget, oh, we got the XFL. That's right. Whenever it's taking time for Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence's and the Ryan Garcia's and Tank Davis and all these other big fights, when these big fights happen and we're watching them, and it's filling out these arenas because it's not like it's not. And these guys are still walking around making a lot of money after these fights. These fights are still big. Boxing is still doing good. It's still big. It's just that we know that these fights just can't happen jolly on the spot, and it takes time before it happens. It's going to be hose up snags and stuff like that. In the meantime, we got the XFL. We got Jake Paul versus these people. We got Le'Veon Bell versus people. We got some things we can sit back and maybe laugh at, just like Clarissa Shields did last weekend with that guy who looked like he didn't know how to throw a punch, but he was built like a shit brick house. He had muscles coming out of his neck. He had muscles coming. I mean, he had muscles everywhere, okay? The man was built, but he threw punches like he was five. You know what I'm saying? I'm 180 pounds, could have whooped his ass in boxing. Could have whooped his ass. Here this guy looking to play defense in for the Washington Commanders. Looked like freaking Chase Young. But he was soft. And didn't know how to punch. So it's funny. You can sit back and laugh at that. You're like, man, that's funny. Instead of hating on it. I think instead of hating on it, people getting mad. They're like, oh, man. Like, hey, man. Go viral. So any amateur that wanted to turn pro that is maybe, or they are pro, they're like 1-0, 2-0, go viral. Have a YouTube, have a side hustle. That might help you. Because then when you have a fight, your fans want to watch you. So when you see, I see the tweets of that, man, it's bullshit. You got real boxers out here that really should get this TV. No. It's not how it works. Go viral. Go do something. That's like me. If I want my podcast, if I want this podcast to really blow up, yeah, I get my listeners and stuff like that. I'm not worldwide. Yeah, I can't be. Somebody right now from Timbuktu can click on Sauce Talk and hit play. But they're not because they don't know who I am. But I bet you if I went out there and got viral and millions and it grew to billions and saw it, and they're like, who was that guy? That was crazy. Or that was funny. Or that was stupid. Or whatever the hell that did to go viral. I guarantee you the next day I post the episode, that whatever so many listeners I get, it turns into a million. So for those people out there that have those snarky things to say about that arena of boxing, just think it's helping out the sport because they're mixing real boxing matches with these events. You get to see some good pros and stuff like that. We got to see with Jake Paul bringing in, don't tell me I'm going to forget her name now, but he's had her, she wore the Jordans boxing, and she was had one of the biggest fights in the UK fighting against, I want to say Katie Taylor, Serrano, I think her name is, and like almost should have won that fight. She really should have won that fight. So what I'm saying is that we wouldn't have known who that woman was if it wasn't for Jake Paul. You know what I'm saying? So we knew the Clarissa Shields. We knew the Myers. We knew the Bumgarner. So, I mean, like, we now know who this person is. So now Amanda Serrano now can sit there and say, hey, man, I want a rematch. I want another crack at this, which I think she should get. And now we can see a part two to be really, you know, really, really nice. So what I'm saying is that don't hate on it. Appreciate it because it's helping the sport of boxing. And like I said, for those guys that sit there and want to say those little snarky things about pros not getting the same look as a Jake Paul, and it's like, go viral. It's not his fault that millions of people want to see him lose or win or just want to see him because he made a funny YouTube video with his brother. Because I tell you one thing, Floyd Mayweather would still be on undercards, or he would just had a decent pro career, probably would have still went undefeated, would have fought his guys, wouldn't have been as big as he was if he didn't talk shit. He was the reason why they made 24/7, HBO did, and then All Out Access on Showtime. He was the reason. And that's the same reason why people want to sit there and watch a fight, because you get behind them watching those shows, you get to watching their life, because they talk shit. They go viral. You go viral, you get shit like 24/7. You get shit like Showtime All Access. You get shit like that. So you can't hate. Like I said, I would never hate on that because I'm the little guy just like those, just like them. But it would take one viral moment where they go, man, that soft talk. And then it's like, well, if we see if it's like it's content. If not, then people are going to sit there and shit me for a few weeks, and then I lose that fame. Because then, well, oh, man, your podcast sucks. Oh, my God. Yeah, he said this. And people are going to listen to every word I say and watch me go viral. So it's just like somebody like a Kevin Williams Jr., Michael Williams Jr., pro boxer. I think he might be 11-1 or something like that, maybe 12-1. Has a type of brand making personification where his dad helps him with a brand, 150, shoe and all that stuff like that. Yeah, that's all well and good, but can you get his people to buy it? Can you sell it? What are you doing to make it go viral? Then if your fighter takes L's and starts getting beat, then he really gonna fall off the map. Then there go that viral plan out the way, but it's a plan nonetheless. So at least there was a plan there. So what I'm saying is that for the little guys out there in boxing, it takes a little bit more than just hitting the gym and just winning your fights. If you want to be a big star, sometimes you gotta do big star things. And that's just the fact of the matter is. I mean, like, look at Andrew Tate, for crying out loud, who was just a kickboxer, who won some championships here and there. He won some fights. He lost some fights here and there. Good career. Could have walked away. But no, he found his way to go viral. And it's no matter what, if they're trying to be a businessman or whatever like that, he went viral. And now he's making millions and millions of dollars. Got a Bugatti and all that stuff like that. Influence. He got fans all over the places. Boom. But he found a way to do it. All I'm saying, man, we can't just keep hating on stuff because it's successful and calling it luck. Just like somebody tried to say, it was a video where a cop was sitting there going back and forth with a gentleman that was calling him broke. And he was like, man, you're a broke police officer. And he was like, man, I got money. Like, he said, I got money. I'm like, what are you talking about? And somebody made a comment was saying, like, man, there's only three ways to get money. Now, there's only three ways to have $300,000 in the bank. It's your lucky, inheritance, or illegal activities. And I replied to that man. I said, don't you know it's 2022? I mean, like, there's maybe a few more ways to make money around here, especially a lot of it. I mean, fuck. I mean, just think of people like with Shopify that goes and sell their product that you couldn't get off like that. Would have to go get a freaking a trademark, a patent, and all that shit. There's a million ways to get rich now, man. Are you kidding me? That's somebody still stuck in the 50s, man. Oh, inheritance, luck, illegal activity. Why don't you just call me? I'm just saying. I hate people with that type of mindset. And it's just like, that man could be freaking selling, he could be a licensed arms dealer. He could be an instructor. He could be a person that does classes. He could be a person that does a million things. He might have OnlyFans. Who never know? So you just don't know how you can make the millions and millions of ways you can make money where you can secretly be balling. And here you got people sitting there saying that. So for the little boxers out there, and for the people that are boxing enthusiasts or the hardcore box fans, because I am one of y'all, you got to quit hating on this Jake Paul era, because it is what it is, and it is what it is of like I said, the evolution of. You're not getting sloppy looking as people out there, even down to the salt poppies who's out there getting in shape to fight. KSIs and people like that, they're not sitting there just like, huh, yeah, I'm going to go out there and just be. These people are like, actually, it looks like they put in the work. And I commend that. So I don't really bark up that tree. My thing is that don't embarrass the sport. Don't make a mockery out of it. And I have not seen that happen. I've seen, you know, some moments of like, oh, God. But that happens in real pro boxing. I mean, like the guy who I was just talking about who really couldn't throw a punch to save his life. It was just last year. There was a man, when the bell rung, turned around and walked out the ring and went back into the locker room. It was a pro fight on ESPN. The bell rung, he walked out the ring and took his ass back in the locker room. This wasn't a YouTube fight. Yeah, another pro fight about 2 years ago before that, the man went out there and looked like he never boxed a day in his life. It was a pro fight. Skinny kid. I could have presented myself way better than him. So, I just want to end that by saying, respect it, man. You got to respect it. Canelo has been real been a good, I guess you could say, a great ambassador for boxing, for a lot of things, for golf. He's going to be in the new Creed movie coming out. He was just at the freaking Mexico game for the 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. He was alone there. I forgot to mention that Canelo was even there, you know, being, like I said, being an ambassador. People know that's Canelo Alvarez, the boxer. So, I mean, like, boxing is getting help for so many different angles, man. And social media is the biggest one because you have Shakur Stevenson going at it with guys. You got Tank and Ryan Garcia going at it. You got Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford going back and forth. You have that. And then a couple with training videos and stuff like that. People are watching this and they watch hitting the bag. You get to see that boxers up close. You know what I'm saying? In moments that we may not get to see unless you watch 24/7 or something like that. Or you got Fight Hype on YouTube, which is a real good channel. I love Fight Hype. Shout out to them. So, I mean, like, boxing's fine. Boxing is fine. Boxing is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. In closing, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get this episode on out of here. I'm going to sit here and say this. And this is for Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence in this potential fight that maybe could happen next year, January, February, whatever. I want it May 5th, May 4th, whatever, close to that time, Cinco de Mayo, around Floyd Mayweather time. I want this fight to be made, man. I want this fight to happen. I don't want Errol Spence to sit there and have a career to where two people, like, every time there's a big-time fight that's supposed to be made to unify in this division, they have turned their back and ran away from Errol Spence. And Errol Spence is, you know, it's damn if he didn't have the fights he was able to get them, he's damn near going to be called Boo Boo Andre. Because it's like, damn, y'all don't want to fight this southpaw that can really hurt you. And that's why I try to tell people about Demetrius Andrade is that, yeah, he may not be able to devastate you, hurt you, but he can damn sure outbox you with that southpaw style. That style makes people retreat. But what do you know? Terrence Crawford, a person who can do so, don't want to fight him either. And he wants to come out with videos and verifications of saying, like, oh, man, like this and that, and I just want to point this out. I want to put this in there. And I told Errol this, but he went and, he's not his own man. He got to go talk to his daddy, Al Haymon, and all that stuff like that. It is all freaking shadow or shadow games. This is a game. It's a ruse. You didn't want to fight that guy for less because you knew you would lose. And if you lose, you fight for less. You don't get to max out. And the next thing you know, you just be fighting marginal fights for, you know, you might make a, you know, meal here, two meal there. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to make that money that you know you're going to make if you somehow just keep on just keeping the distance and keeping the fight intrigue and you fighting this fight. You're going to get your little 8 million here or 10 or whatever, and then you're going to fight another one and you're going to see that it's not all glitter and gold, and then next thing you know, you're not going to be on part of BLK Prime. And then what's going to happen then? You'll be knocking on Al Haymon's door again, I tell you that. But hey, this has been Sauce Talk. Like I said, next time we come back on, we're going to talk about week 12 in the NFL and all that good stuff. Talking about some college football, we got the playoff committee. It's, you know, they got some work to do. Some teams is falling off. Some teams are coming up. Notre Dame is like, hey, I'm not looking for a playoff, but we looking to fuck shit up. And USC, we got you in our sights. So I mean, like, we got some things going in the storyline era, in the storyline move for college football. It's a real good storyline time, you know, around this time with college football playoffs, Heisman, and the awards, and who's stepping up, coaches, who's on the hot seat, who's trying to go here. We're already hearing Lane Kiffin talking about going to Auburn. It's already sealed, signed, delivered. That man's bouncing around more SEC teams than in a little bit. That man has been at Tennessee. He's been at Ole Miss. Now they're hanging him in Auburn. Where is he? Freaking offensive coordinator. Freaking Alabama. Wow. Like, Jesus, man. Lane Kiff moves around so much, but he's pronounced to be just so great. It don't add up right. It don't add up right at all. But like I said, we'll call it a day. Everybody have a good one. This is Soft Talk calling it a day. So y'all take it easy.